Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Chof Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you find at the very top of Daf Chof Vov. The Mishnah, Nechosim Shiyesh Lohem Achrayis, properties, possessions that are described as Yesh Lohem Achrayis, really means real estate, land type properties. The term Yesh Lohem Achrayis, loosely translated, has to do with that type of property on which people will create or place a lien. People, for example, will loan money with the sense of security that if the borrower has land, he, the lender, always has that as a fallback position from which to collect his debt in the event that the borrower doesn't pay cash. So, achrayis is an expression referring to land. It's always there, as opposed to portables, which are described as ein lohem achrayis. A person, when extending a loan, doesn't do so in reliance upon portables, because by their very nature, here today, gone tomorrow, who says that they'll be around in the event that the borrower doesn't pay back the cash debt? So, Nechosim sheyesh machrayis nitnim bekesef ubishtar bechazok. The means of acquiring land or real estate is through cash, through a title, a document, and chazaka. Chazaka is an act of usage on the part of the buyer that shows he is the owner. There are several examples found in Rashi what constitutes chazaka. Rashi says, Rafak Beipurta, he tilled a little bit of soil, O Dayesh Amitsori, or he walked along the boundaries of the field, O Noal O Poratz Kolshu, or he locked up or built up a breach in a fence or created a breach of any size. All those are acts of chazaka. She'ein lohem achrayis, properties were back in the Mishnah, properties that are described as ein lohem achrayis portables, ein niknim elo b'meshicha. The method of acquiring them is through meshicha, drawing them, pulling them toward you. Nechosim she'ein lohem achrayis, another aspect of portables, niknim im nechosim she'esh lohem achrayis. When you make a deal, when you transact real estate, you can, along with the kinyan that you make on the real estate, acquire portables in the same deal without having to make a special kinyan meshicha on those portables. Once you exercise one of the kinyonim, one of the means of acquisition for land purposes, and as the Mishnah enumerates, bekesef u'bishtar b'chazaka, along with the deal, the kinyan that you made on the land, you get the portables that are to be included in that particular deal. Another aspect of nechosim she'ein lohem achrayis, v'zoikikim es hanechosim she'esh lohem achrayis lishova aleihen. To appreciate this, just we have to provide a little background. This Mishnah is referring to laws concerning oaths, swearing. There is a rule, ein nishboin ala karkois. There's a controversy between two individuals, one claiming from the other a claim of land, the one being claimed from cannot request a shvua to be made from the one who's trying to press charges. Land simply, by virtue of a scriptural reference, is that concerning which no oath can be imposed. Let us say there's a disagreement between two people concerning portables. There's a concept known as moida b'miktas, where there's partial confession of a debt. So if someone claims claims from someone else, A claims from B that you owe me 5 utensils, and the one being claimed from says, I don't owe you 5 utensils, I owe you 2 utensils. His claim, his partial admission, generates from the Torah the need for swearing, an oath, a shvua. In the event that a shvua is imposed on someone making a partial claim concerning portables, then you can impose an oath on karkois, on the chosim sheish lamachrayas as well. So, to initially impose an oath concerning a disagreement concerning land, that can't be done. Einish buen ala karkois. However, once there's a controversy over portables, where an oath could be imposed, we can, if there happens to be a disagreement, a controversy between these two people concerning some kind of land debt as well, so then a shvua can be imposed on the land issue as well. That's what this second phrase means concerning the nechosim shem achrayas. They're zoikikin es hanechosim shem achrayas. They cause the land properties to have an oath taken over them as well. As we turn to the Gemara, we have on the side a nosei / mivne. You'll notice we have some markings. There's a dashed underline, and that is darkei hakinyan shel nechosim shesh machrayas. This line, this marking will be used to emphasize the type of kinyan, the type of transaction or method of clinching a deal applying to land. So if you skim ahead in the Gemara, you'll notice first the first dash underline is, features kesef, and we'll also be following the diamonds that are numbered alongside the Gemara text, which highlight the word minolon, which are makoros shekinyonim elu mo'ilim, sources that these dashed underlined words, which represent the kinyonim, are effective. How do you know? So just skim down the page. You'll notice immediately we have kesef minolon. The next number two, the diamond number two, about halfway down, is Bishtar Minolon, and finally Bechazoka Minolon. The Gemara. Bekesef Minolon. From where do we know that Kesef is a means of acquiring land? Omar Chizkiya, Omar Cross. So Chizkiya quotes a posik, Sodois Bekesef Yiknu. The Gemara asks, Ve'emo Adiko Shtar Dichtiv Uchsov Basefer Chasom. You're quoting a posuk from Yirmiyo Lamed Beis, posuk Mem Dalid. We've actually included this on the side of the Gemara, where the posuk reads, Sados Bekesef Yiknu, V'chasoiv Basefer V'chasam, V'eid Eidim, Beretz Binyamin, etc. So, if you're going to cite Sados Bekesef Yiknu, mean Sados are land, fields, Bekesef, through cash, Yiknu, you can acquire them. So, maybe Kesef is not effective on its own. Adi Kashtar means you have to have a document as well. Because in the same posuk, the following phrase is V'chosoy v'sefer v'chasom. Sefer is a document. So it must be written in a document and signed. How do you know from this posuk that cash alone is effective? The Gemara answers, Iksiv yiknu lebasof. If the word yiknu would have appeared afterwards, at the end, so, ki de koamris. I would agree with what you're saying. You need both. The word yiknu meaning is the word indicating acquisition, the transaction. However, where does the word yiknu appear in the verse? Hashtuch siv yiknu meyikara. Now that, in fact, the word yiknu appears earlier, at the beginning, meaning right after kesef. Kesef kani. From this we see that the entity that activates the transaction is the cash payment. Shtar raya be'almahu. The shtar referred to in this pasuk is simply a document of proof that the transaction took place. But what clinched the deal? The payment of the cash. When we speak about a deal being clinched, that means that neither party can then back out. Omar Rav, lo yishonu, the teaching of the Mishnah that kesef alone clinches a deal, ela b'mokim she'en kesefin es hashtar. It's applicable in a place where the custom is, where they don't have a custom of writing shtoros, of writing documents. When we speak of shtar, in this case, it's a shtar mechira, a document of sale. Avol b'mokim she'kosvin es hashtar lo kona. In a locale, in a region where the custom is, in addition to paying the money, a bill of sale is written up. The deal is not clinched until the purchaser receives the shtar indicating that he's purchased the land. We take a look at the Rashi. Lo kona, the kevon de regilim b'hochi, since that is their custom, their regular practice. Lo somcha daite de lokeach, the purchaser does not have confidence and certainty in his mind. Ad de nokit shtora, until he receives the document. Vikudaito liknois al hashtarhu, and his mindset is on that document. We turn back to the Gemara. V'i porish, if he specifies that the cash should be the deal clincher, Rashi says im porish im ritzoni yikne li kaspi o yikne shtori. If he specifies what his desire is, that the cash should acquire for him, or the document should acquire for him, then porish, so be it. We go according to what he specifies. And an illustration of what we just said is now forthcoming. Ki hodir av ivi bar ovin, ki zovin ara omar. When he would purchase land, he would say, I bo'ino b'kaspo ikni, I bo'ino b'shtora ikni. If I should so desire, I want my cash to be the deal clincher. If I should so desire, I want the shtar to be the deal clincher. And now the Gemara says, why is he saying both things? I bo'ino b'kaspo ikni, if I should so desire, I want the cash to be the deal clincher. De'i bo'isu l'mahader lo motzisu hadrisu. That I'm paying cash, and if I should want that to clinch the deal, it will be so. What effect will that have? If you, the sellers, should want to back out after I paid you the money, you will not be able to back out. Ve'i bo'ino b'shtora ikni, and if I should so desire, I want the shtar, the bill of sale, to be the deal clincher. De'i bo'ino l'mahader, if I want to back out, even though I paid the money already, until I get that shtar, hadarna bi, I'm leaving open the option of being able to back out. Let's look at Rashi. For the following reason, he said both. The buyer is putting himself clearly in the driver's seat, saying that if I want to back out, I'm leaving open those options, but the seller won't be able to. As the Gemara goes on to explain, and Rashi elaborates, Shimboha moicher lachzor yomar lo ani rotze shiikne li kaspi. If the seller gets the idea, wants to back out, I, the buyer, can say, well, the cash I paid you, I want that to clinch the deal. Vimhu bo lachzor, and if he, the buyer, wants to back out, yomar lo ani rotze shiikaspi kina. He's creating the option for him to say, I don't want my cash payment to clinch the deal, until I get the document. And as long as I haven't received the bill of sale, I retain the right to back out. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Ubishtar. The Mishnah mentioned that land is acquired through a document. Minolon, from where do we know that a shtar mechira is a means of transacting land? So here the Gemara goes through a couple of stages. If you're going to be relying on that posuk, Yirmiyo Perek Lamed Beis posuk Mem Dalet. The pasuk we cited earlier, and in that pasuk reference was made to writing a document. But v'ha'amris, but we explained that earlier. Shtar raya bi'amahu. That shtar was only a proof that a deal had been transacted through cash. So that's not a source that a shtar is the means of transacting, of clinching the deal. Elo mehocha, from the following pasuk, also in Yirmiyo Lamed Beis, it says v'akach es sefer amakne. So the pasuk is referring to the sefer, the document, as being the makne, the means of creating the kinyan, the deal clincher. And from here we see that the sefer alone, the document itself, has the power of establishing the transaction. Omar Shmuel. Lo shanu elo bishtar matona. That which we have established, that a shtar, that a document clinches a deal, that is true with regard to a gift of land. So that you would write up a document indicating that a parcel of land was given from A to Mr. B as a gift. Avo b'mecher, but when it comes to a sale, lo kona shitein lo domim. The deal is not clinched until cash is paid. Rashi says, ad shitein domim, de lo gomar moicher, umakne ad de kobil domim. They do not conclude in their minds that the deal is clinched until payment of money is made. Vafagav de kobil domim, and we're adding here that even though money was received, boy shtora, shtar is necessary, elahecho de porish chlemili el, unless they had specified otherwise, as we said earlier. So, according to Shmuel, the concept of a shtar being the means of clinching a deal, that's if you're dealing with a gift. But when you're dealing with a sale, the deal is dependent not just on the shtar, but on the payment of cash. Mosiv Rav Hamnuna. The following Tanaic source is raised as a question. Bishtar Ketzad Kosav Lo Al Hanyor Al Cheres Afo Pi She'ein Bohem Shova Pruta. How is a shtar appear? How is it to be phrased, written? Well, it could be written on some paper or on a piece of clay, even if it has no inherent value, and the text would be Sodi Mechura Loch. Sadi Nesunalach. Hare Zu Mechura Unesuna. Now, if we translate this, following, let's say, the basic translation, you would see from here that if a person writes in a document, my field is sold to you, or my field is given to you as a gift. So those two separate methods of transaction are effective, as it says, Harezu Mechura Unesuna. And the thinking right now is, it's either a sale, if you phrase it as such, or it's a gift, matona, more nosan, nesuna, or a gift. What do we see then? We see that a shtar is effective on its own in clinching a deal. Hu moisiv la v'hu mefarek la. Rav Hamnuna raised the question, but he also answers it. What's his answer? The mocher sadeo mipnei ra'asa. A person is selling a field that is of very poor quality. He's only too happy as having found someone who is willing to buy it. In a case like that, the seller is only too happy to have the deal clinched with the shtar. What's his concern? He's only too happy to have the shtar clinch the deal before the buyer should think to back out. Once again, he's selling a field, mitnei rasa, that's a very poor quality. In a case like that, people are willing to have the deal clinched simply by giving the shtar and not expecting any cash payment in order to clinch the deal. The cash will come later. Rav Ashi Omar. Rav Ashi says the entire source is actually dealing with a gift, so that there's no kasha on Shmuel, because Shmuel made a distinction between a shtar matona and a mecher. This source is dealing only with matona. And the Gemara explains, Rav Ashi Omar b'matona bikesh litno lo. The owner of the field and the source wants to give the field as a gift. Why then, in that very shtar, did he indicate that it's a sale? Why did he use the language of a sale? So as to increase the strength of the receiver of the gift. What do we mean by increasing the strength of the receiver of the gift? In general, if someone receives a parcel of land as a gift, and the giver of the gift happened to owe money to some other previous creditors, those previous creditors can collect the gift that he gave, and the gift receiver has no recourse. You didn't pay for the gift, you got as a gift, so easy come, easy go. However, if the giver of the gift writes the shtar using the language of sale in it, then he is empowering the receiver of the gift to seek recourse in the event that some creditor took the land from him, the receiver of the gift. In such a case, the giver of the gift is opening himself up to a subsequent collection in the event that the gift receiver should lose the gift to a creditor of the gift giver. The main point, though, of this answer, Rav Ashi's answer, is that the source is no question on Shmuel. The source is dealing strictly with an issue of giving a gift. But, as Shmuel said, if it's a sale of property, the document does not function on its own, but its value is only realized when the cash is paid for that property. Ubechazoka minolan. From where do we know that the chazoka kinyan is effective in transacting property? Omar chizkio makro v'shavu be'orechem asher tofastem. Bame tofastem be a shiva. How did you tefasim? How did you grab hold? How did you take hold of it? Of those cities described in the pasuk, through dwelling in them. The Beir of Shmuel Tana, v'yirashtem oisa v'yishavtem ba. B'me yirashtem b'yishiva. The pasuk describes you will inherit the land. You'll take over the land of Israel. And how do you take over the land? B'yishiva, through dwelling in it. So we have two sources for this idea, for two sources cited that chazaka is effective. V'she'en lohem achrayes ein niknim elo b'meshicha. The Mishnah taught portables are acquired only through meshicha, through drawing them unto yourself. Min olon, from where do we know that? Dechti v'chisimku memkar l'amisecha oikono miyad amisecha. And we darsh in this pasuk, dover hanikne miyad liyad. An item that is transferred miyad liyad, that means meshicha, that you draw it unto yourself. Now that's not a literal translation, but Rashi simply says that miyadli means dahainu meshicha. Ulu Rabbi Yochanan de Omar, Dvar Torah Mois Koinois Mai Iko Lemeimar. According to Rabbi Yochanan, and there's a very big machlokis Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish in what constitutes a deal clincher with regard to portables. Rabbi Yochanan says that from the Torah's perspective, a cash payment is that which clinches a deal. So then what's the Mishnah teaching when it says portables are acquired only through Meshicha? So what the Mishnah is teaching is, let's read the Gemara. Tana takanta derabbanan katani. The Tana is teaching a rabbinic enactment. Let us elaborate. Rabbi Yochanan says from the Torah standpoint, when you are acquiring, when you're interested in acquiring portables, so you, the buyer, will pay cash to the seller. That clinches the deal. Does when a person pays cash, does that mean that the buyer took physical possession of it yet? Not necessarily. Oftentimes a person will pay for an article and it's sitting in a warehouse owned by the seller with all of his inventory. In the meantime, you paid money. If you look at things from the Torah perspective, that article that's sitting on the shelf in the seller's warehouse is no longer the seller's. It becomes the buyer's. The seller received cash. He's happy with the cash payment. At that point, he couldn't care less about the article that the buyer purchased. Now, what happens when people do not care less? Well, in the event that, let us say, a fire would break out threatening that particular item that was already sold through a cash payment, the seller isn't going to be motivated whatsoever to try to save that item from the conflagration. So you have someone that paid hard-earned cash for a particular item, and he has no, say, guarantee or sense of security that he's ever going to see it in the event that some threatening force endangers the item he paid for. So the Rabbanan intervened and imposed a rabbinic ruling stating that though the Torah acknowledges cash as a means of clinching the deal, the rabbis say it does not clinch the deal. They were oiker. They uprooted Kinyan Mois and said it's not going to work. And as the Mishnah says, Metapolin or Mechosim Shein Lachreis are acquired only through Meshicha. On until you, the buyer, draw it, until you take possession of it. Well, until the buyer takes possession of it, it's considered in the domain of the seller. So even if cash was paid, it's not considered a done deal. And if that conflagration or some other threatening force endangers the item that had been paid for, it's still viewed as the seller's item. And in the event that as I said, cash was paid for, the cash had been paid, the buyer can simply ask for his money back. That will motivate the seller to take care of items that had been paid for. So as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, even though on a Torah level this idea of drawing the portables is not a kinyan, is not a deal clincher, on a rabbinic level it is the way to clinch the deal, by the buyer drawing the item from the seller, thereby taking possession of it. Nechosim shein lehem achrayas, and the Mishnah said, niknim im nechosim sheish lehem achrayas. That means portables. If someone is selling land, and along with the land he is including in the deal, he's selling portables, it's sufficient for the kinyan to be made on the land. We saw kesef shtar or chazaka, and when that kinyan is made, the portables are automatically transferred in that deal, through that kinyan. The kinyan made on the land covers the portables that are being thrown into or being made part of that particular deal. Menohani mili, where do we learn this concept from? Before we go further, we should glance at the side of the Gemara. We have a Nosei topic heading, and we indicate Ad Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. So we have a rather long topic that will certainly consume the balance of this shir, namely, Haim Yesh Tzurich She'osim Metaltelin She'niknim Im Kark Im Makarka Yutzvur Nalel. Is it necessary for those portables that are being transferred in the deal concerning the land to be physically located on the property that's being transacted? That's the term tzivur, and tzivur literally means piled up. Does it have to be physically on the land? When you look at cases like this very superficially, we're saying you're making a deal with someone to acquire land, and you also anticipate in the transaction, you agree that you're going to acquire along with the land some portables of that land owner. So you might very well think that since you're making the deal on the land, the portables ought to be on the land at the time that you're making the kinyan on the nechosim she yesh lo machrayas. Now we turn to the Gemara. Nechosim she machrayas, we said, are niknim im nechosim she yesh lo machrayas. We saw that in the Mishnah. Mino ani mili, from where do we know that such a kinyan works? Kinyan on land will be effective concerning the portables that are part of that deal. Omar Chizkia, the Omar Kro Chizkia, once again quotes from the scriptures. Vayitin lehem aviyem matonos rim orei mitzuros bihuda. So in this pasuk we see a particular father transferring cities, and along with the cities that he's transferring, he is including portables. So we see scriptural precedent for deal made on land, enabling portables to be included thereupon. Ibayaloho. And now the question that we featured in our introduction, Bo'inan Sivurin Olo. Do we require the portables to be piled on the very property being transacted? Or no, or that's not necessary. It's enough that you're making a deal on a particular piece of property. The portables are located somewhere else, but they're considered transacted in the deal you're making on the land. Omar Rav Yosef, Toshma. We have a new marking, a triangle, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, the triangle is described as a ma'akav, a means of keeping track of a give-and-take style Gemara, with the point facing up, that's laharois de lo bo'inon tzivurin, to show that we don't require portables transacted as part of a land deal to be piled on the property, to be physically upon the property. The inverted triangle indicates to the contrary. First and foremost, since we're learning with marked Gemaras, that's what a Gemara marking shear is all about, special focus paid upon the Gemara structure, allow your eyes to roam ahead, to survey the upcoming Omid of Gemara, and I would like to add not just the upcoming Omid, but go continue looking onto Daf Chof Zayin Omid Aleph. If you do thusly, you'll see how the triangles continue in alternating directions, but it's not, you'll also notice, it's not flip-flop all the time. You'll notice there is a numbering scheme along this sukya. We're not numbering all the triangles, this is clearly obvious. However, we are numbering each time the Gemara brings a new attempted source to determine the issue of tzvurim piled on or not. The first triangle, you can see number one, toshma, the point is facing up. That's an attempt to show you do not require tzvurim. Then the Gemara has a discussion, a back and forth discussion under triangle number one. You get to the upper part of Omid Beis, triangle number two appears. Again, point facing up. The Gemara feels from the following source, we can show you don't require tzivurin. And then, again, a discussion ensues. Triangle number three, the same thing happens. However, three lines from the bottom, you'll notice an inverted triangle that we call number four. At that point, the Gemara says, well, I think we have a source that will show that we do require tzvurin, that portables that are being transacted do need to be upon the land. And finally, when you get to Daf Chof Zayin Amud Aleph, five lines from the top, a triangle with the point facing up will an attempt on the part of the Gemara to show that you don't require tzvurin. As far as how the sugya ends off, you can always use the markings right now in order to find out the final triangle, and that would give you a pretty good clue as to what direction things are taking. And in this case, you'll see the final triangle is pointing upwards, and the Gemara concludes a couple lines after that on Chof Zayin Aleph, Shma Mino Lo Bo'inon Sevurin Bo. Shma Mino. That would be the Gemara's conclusion. Until we get to Daf Chof Zayin Aleph, we have quite a bit of work ahead of us. So we pick up the Gemara at the bottom of Chof Vav Amud Aleph. Omar Rav Yosef, Toshma. Let's try to bring a proof. Come in here, the following source. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Karka Kolshehu, a negligible amount of land, Chayeves Bepeya Ubibikurim. If there's produce growing on it, the laws, the various tithe laws apply, even though you're dealing with a very small piece of land. Kolshu means negligible amount. So you have to observe the laws of Peah, Bikurim. Peah is the law concerning leaving a corner of the field unharvested. Bikurim is known commonly as the first fruits that are brought to the Beis HaMikdash and then given to a Kohen. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, V'lichtoiv Olel Prusbol. Prusbol is the special rabbinic enactment enabling lenders to collect debts from borrowers even though the Shemitah year goes by, which ordinarily would cancel the debt, the special enactment of Prusbul is made provided the borrower is a landowner. How much land need he own? Even a kosh, even a negligible amount. And now the main point, and here we've dashed, underline it, v'liknoi simon nechosim she'en lohem achrayas. The karka kolshehu enables the transaction, along with the karka kolshehu that's being transacted, to acquire portables. Nechosim she'en lohem achrayas, I'm sure you know already, that's a reference to portables. So that liknoi simon, along with the karka kolshehu, you are acquiring nechosim she'en lohem achrayas. This marking, this double underline, you'll see throughout the sukya, highlights what initial conclusion we seem to be reaching. So if you think that you do require tzivurim, kol shulamai chozi, what is a negligible amount of land fit for? It's, as we said, it's negligible in size. You can't put anything on it. So it must be, as we said at the outset, that this is an attempt to show we do not require sevurim. The inverted triangle says not so. Tirgumo Rav Shmuel bar Bisna Kamei Rav Yosef. Rav Shmuel explained the Tanaic source in the presence of Rav Yosef in a way indicating that you do require tzivurin. Kagon shenoatz bo machat. He wedged into this negligible piece of land a needle. And it's the needle that was being transacted along with the karka. And the needle was on the land. So this is what Rav Shmuel said to Rav Yosef. Rabbi Yosef heard this explanation and he reacted, I dare say, violently, verbally. Omar le Rav Yosef, kabaston. This is a word that I would say is quite insulting. There are a number of explanations, but I think one of the most dramatic of them is found in the note on the side. The last of them is Klomar Hafachta es b'nei me'ai l'alki. You've turned my stomach over, making me or causing me to want to vomit. This upset Rav Yosef quite a bit, and he goes on to say, "Ichbal Tana Lashmina." The Tana goes out of his way to teach me machat, to teach me about a transaction concerning a needle. Omar Rav Ashi. Notice the triangle with the pit tip facing down. Once again, in the direction of showing, yeah, that this source really is regarding something on it. You said the needle is very insignificant. Why in the world would we have a Tanaic source trying to teach me about the transaction of something so insignificant? It's not insignificant. Man le malon de lo tola bo marganiso de shavi alfazuzi. Who is to say that on the top of this needle, there isn't some type of very precious item? A marginisa is often translated as a pearl, or it's something small, but of very, very great value, worth 1,000 zuz. Now that's an item of significance, and it is of importance to know how that type of item is transacted. So at this point, you can see we've gone back and forth. The Gemara feels it's inconclusive. We move on, Toshma number two. And again, by looking at the way we've positioned the triangle, skip, by the way, the Tanaic source. Do you see the next double underline? And there you see, Vi Amris Bo'inon Sivuri. If you were to say we require Sivurim, we'll run into a problem. So it must be, we don't require Sivurim. Okay, so what does the source say? Toshma, Omar Rebbe Elozer, Maisa be Madoni Echad. It was an incident involving an individual. Madoni is a name of a place. Madon Shehoya Bushalayim Shoilo Mitaltin Harbe. This fellow was visiting Jerusalem, where he was located. He was in Jerusalem, and he had a lot of portables. Ubikesh Litnom Bimaton, and he wanted to give them as a gift. Omru Lo, Ein Lo Takona, Ad Shiyaknem Al Gabi Karka. You have no choice, no solution, other than transacting them Al Gabi Karka, together with land. And at this point, this Madoni didn't have any land. Ma'osa, so what did he do? Holach ve'lokach be'sela somuch Yishayim. He went and bought a piece of land. Now the term be'sela, the thinking is that it's a sela is a word, has many meanings, it has several meanings, but for us, it means it's a type of coin. So he went and bought a piece of land the size of this coin near Yerushalayim. Fiomar, and he declared, Tzfoni ze leploni v'imo me'otzon u'me'ochovios. The northern part of this small piece of land is to be given to so-and-so, and along with this little piece of land, 100 heads of sheep, and 100 barrels, maybe barrels of wine. Umes, and then the Madoni died. Vekimu Estvarov, and the rabbis fulfilled his wish. In other words, his instructions. V'yamris bo'inon sivurin bo. If you were to think that the portables in a transaction of land, in a transfer of land ownership, need to be piled upon it. Be'sela l'may chazi. What in the world is this coin-sized piece of land fit for? So, obviously, the portables don't need to be upon the land. So the Gemara says, questions our whole assumption. Mi sabris be'sela sela mamish. Who says that it's literally a sela, which is a coin. My sela? What is the term base sela a reference to? Denafish tuva, a large piece of land. But my korule sela, why is this large piece of land referred to by the word sela? Dekoshi kisel, it's hard like rock. You see, the word sela also means a rock. So that it could very well be that the base sela referred to in the Taneg source was, as we just said, a large piece of land. It's a non-arable land, but it is sufficiently large to have the items featured in the source being placed upon it. Toshma. Once again, you see the attempt is to show that we do not require tzivurin. The Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. We have an unusual situation by way of markings. First of all, note that we have a long point, but we have a frame that's dashed. And on the side, by the starred note, we've written Simonu Mizgeres Mikuvkav. We've marked a dashed frame. The Ein Ze Mokur Tanoi. This is not a Tanaic source. Avorotzinu Lahakel Ala Kriya. We wanted to make the reading of the Gemara easier. Al Yedei Havlotas Hamais Yeshuva B'Toshma, by highlighting this particular story. So we continue with the Gemara that Rav Yehuda Marav tells us. Maisib Odem Echad. We skip the bracketed lines for a moment. Shehoyu lo metaltalin harbe. So we have a story involving an individual that had a lot of portables. Now, within the brackets, there are two versions of the status of this individual. So reading again, Maisa Be'od Mechod, Shecholo B'Yushalayim, Kerebi Elozer. According to Rebbe Elozer's version, the man was very ill. Fi Amri Law Bori Hoyo Kirabonan. Another version is that he was healthy, according to the Rabbanan. Shohoyu lo metaltalin harbe. He had a lot of portables. Ubikesh lutnom bimatonan. He wanted to give them as a gift. Omru lo, and they told him, Ein loi takona achiaknem algabi karka. You have no solution in transferring ownership other than together with land. And we can assume, like we saw in the story before, at this point this man didn't have any land. So ma'osa, so what did he do? Holach v'lokach beis rova samuch Yerushalayim. He bought an amount of land. Beis rova is an amount, a size of land. It's called the amount of land you could plant a quarter of a kav of seed in it. And it was located in Yerushalayim, the Omar, and he said as follows, Tefach al tefach leploni, a handbreadth square handbreadth, I am granting to so-and-so, v'imo, and with that, me'o tzon u'me'o chavios, 100 heads of sheep and 100 barrels. Umeis, and the individual died. V'kaimu chachamis bov, and they followed his instructions. V'i amris bo'inan tzivurin, if you were to think that we require that the portables be located on top of the land that's being transferred, tefach al tefach l'maychozi, what's a hand square handbreadth of land fit for? Obviously, it's too small an area for all of these portables, the 100 head of sheep and 100 barrels to fit on. So from here, we would conclude that in the transfer of land and portables along with it, you don't need to have the portables on top of the land. The Gemara rejects this and says, Hocha b'may askinon. This incident is dealing with what? Lidomi. It's referring to cash. This man had cash in his possession, and he wanted to give the cash as a gift. How much cash? It was the amount of cash that with which you could buy 100 heads of sheep and 100 barrels. And now that amount of money could be piled upon a square handbreadth of land, the square tefach of land. The markings that you see now, a bracketed section, you can see if you skim ahead to the end of the brackets, right after the brackets you have an inverted triangle. So that as far as reading the Gemara, these brackets are not for skipping per se, because after the brackets we're already encountering a new point, a new attempt. On the side of the Gemara we have a starred note, Haketa b'sograyim have a diyun. The section in the brackets is a discussion, im nitan lomar, if we can allow ourselves to say, hochi nami mistabro, that this pshat of bedomi askinon, that we're talking about cash that was being given as a gift, is also the logical, the likely thing to say. You'll notice within the bracketed section we have a house shape that appears in an alternating fashion. So our note continues by saying, Lefi simunei ha-ma'akav, according to the marking that we call a ma'akav, the attempt to keep track of a particular discussion, with the house marking appearing in alternating directions, we start off with a statement of the Gemara, Hochinami Mistabra. It's most likely that it is talking about cash. In other words, the value of 100 heads of sheep and 100 barrels in money terms, in cash terms. And the opening of the discussion has the house facing up. But if you follow the back and forth, the give and take here, Hahachinami Mistabra, our note says, Eino Oimedes, it doesn't last, it doesn't stand. Gisha zu la Gemara toyemes legirsa hashniyah muveis b'toisves dibramaskel hachigar sinan. This approach conforms to the second girsa found in the Tosfos. We have the Tosfos quite heavily marked, and if you see our marked Tosfos, there are a couple diamonds in that Tosfos. So the second diamond at that point, the Tosfos, it says Lefi girsa zu, the girsa that we have, eino omedes the hochi, eino omedes hochi nami mistabra, just like our note is saying that the hochi nami mistabra attempt does not last. After the brackets, the Gemara resumes the clarification regarding the matter of tzivurin, the need or non-necessity of portables being on top of, literally on top of the property that's being transferred. So now, with all that having been said, let's continue with the bracketed section. The last point in the Gemara was that we in fact could require tzivurin because the story of the tefach al tefach involved the transfer of coins, of cash, the cash value of meot zon and meot chavios. Hachinami mistabro, that we're talking about cash, it's most likely that that's what we're talking about. There, by the way, there's a Rashi across from here. Hachinam istabra de moisoy, that it's cash. Ulefikach lo yochol liknoisoy bechalipin, and therefore it cannot be acquired. The receiver can't get it through a kinyan chalipin. The kaimel perikazov ein mapea nikne bechalipin. Transfer of ownership of coins is not accomplished through the chalipin method. The chalipin method is a very, very common type of deal clincher or transaction maker. What is the kinyan chalipin? Where the person who is receiving would give a piece of cloth or a handkerchief or something like that to the giver, to the seller, to the giver, and in exchange the receiver then gets whatever is being given. That form of transaction, that type of kinyan, is not used when you're transferring coins. So now the Gemara points out, it's hochinam estaba that we're talking about cash. If you were to think that in that incident you're dealing with actual heads of sheep and barrels, nikninu nihale b'chalipin, then the chalipin method should have been used, as we just described. But since chalipin wasn't used, it's a sign that you were dealing with cash. Velomai ledomi. So what you want to say, it's talking about cash. Nikninu nihale b'mishicha. So why is it not transferred by the gift giver to the receiver through mishicha? Let the receiver of the gift draw the coins unto himself. Now, why is that not featured? Ela the lesay la mekabel matona. You know why Mashiach is not used? Because he's not around. He's not there. Hachinami, so too, it could very well be that you're dealing with actual heads of sheep. And the lesay la mekabel matona. He is not around. And that's why they didn't use chalipin. Not like you thought before that the absence of chalipin was because you were dealing with cash. No, we're dealing with actual tzon. The absence of chalipin is only because the receiver of the gift wasn't there. The Gemara asks, v'nizkinu nihale, if in fact it's talking about real sheep, actual sheep, literal sheep, and not cash, then nizkinu nihale agav achir. Let the giver of the gift find some outsider, a third party, and have the third party receive the gift on behalf of the receiver that you said is not there. That's called zichia. So since that wasn't used, so it must be that we're not talking about actual tzon, but rather, like we said, hachinami mistaber, that we're talking about cash. The Gemara says we are dealing with actual tzon. Why not have the third party method? He would receive it on behalf of the receiver. Lo somcha daite. The giver of the gift doesn't have a sense of insurance or security that this third party will receive it on behalf of that ultimate receiver. Sovar, he's calculating, or he's figuring, or he's worried, shomit v'ochil lehu, that if I engage the services of some third party to receive it on behalf of so-and-so, that third party is going to actually keep it for himself. V'ela mai ein lo takona. We take a look at the Rashi, second line from the bottom. My ein lo takona, the source, or I should say the story that's in the dashed frame, used that expression. We have a little arrow, by the way, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the arrow above, and you'll see where that phrase appeared. What does that mean, ein lo takona? Ho yochol lizkos al yedei acherim im yirtzeh. The source gave us the feeling that there's no solution other than through the land method. But there is this solution of a third party taking it on behalf of the receiver. It's just that he didn't feel a sense of security about it. So the Gemara is asking, what do you mean, ein lo takona? There is no other solution other than the land method. The Gemara says, hachi komar, lemai de lo somcha daite. In accordance with this particular mindset, that you don't have a sense of confidence, so we can't rely on the third party method to receive the actual sheep on behalf of the receiver. So ein lo takona ad sheiknem al gabi karka. There's no solution other than have the transfer of the sheep and the barrels together with a transfer of a little piece of land. But as we said before, the main purpose of this internal discussion of Gemara was, can we say that it's clear that you're talking about a case of a cash transfer, because otherwise some other type of kinyan would have appeared? And at the end of this discussion, we can't say with confidence that it's most likely a case of coins. No, not at all. It could be dealing with actual sheep and barrels, and of course, with that in mind, then the attempt to preserve the suggestion that you really need on top of literally, that falls away. And we can't say, as we said before, that it's likely that it's dealing with cash. Rather, it's dealing with actual sheep and actual barrels. And the only reason that the land method was used is because the zechiyo al yedei acher was something that this giver didn't want to activate, didn't want to employ. Let's continue in the Gemara. Toshma. Here, we note the triangle already at the outset, at the beginning of this new source, has the point facing down. So this would be an attempt to show that you do require tzivurin. Toshma, Maisa Barabon Gamliel Uzakenim Shoyuboyim Besfino. There's an incident involving Rabbi Gamliel and other sages aboard a boat on high seas. Omar Lahem Rabbi Gamliel Lazakenim. Rabbi Gamliel announces to the Zakenim, Isur Shani Osid Lomud, 1/10 of my produce that I'm going to measure out, Nos, we continue at the top of the Chof Zion. Nosun lo Yeshua. I want to give one tenth to Yeshua. This is Yeshua ben Hananya, who was a Levi. And this tithe is the Miser Rishon tithe, which Miser, by its very name, means one tenth. So one tenth of my produce I'm giving to Rav Yeshua ben Hananya. Umekoimoi muskar lo. And this is critical. We dashed on the word. Mekomo means the ground under the crop, the one tenth of the crop that I have, the ground under it, I am renting to Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. Let us take a look at Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines, the fourth narrow line of Mekomo Muskar. V'nosan lo Rabbi Yeshua pruto b'schar ha-mokim. Rabbi Yeshua, there on the boat, gave Rabbi Gamliel a small coin in order to rent that spot. V'ninsa metaltelin niknin ima karka b'kesef. The transaction we're describing is the grains, which are portables, 10% of Rabbi Gamliel's grains he wants to transfer to Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua buys, or I should say rents, he acquires land through one of the land acquisition methods, namely kesef, payment of cash, pay rent, money, and in doing so, he gets the crop that is upon it. And that is worth emphasizing. The Gemara continues. Let's turn back to the Gemara. Rabban Gamliel continues tithing, distributing his tithes from, so it's a long distance, of course, you can see he's on the boat, but he says, V'isur acher shani osid lamud nosun lo li'akiva ben Yosef, and an additional 10%. And here we're featuring the Meiser Oni, which is a tithe that during the 7-year sabbatical cycle, so two of the years 3 and 6, involve a 10% tithe given to the poor. So he says that additional tenth that I'm going to eventually measure out, Nosun lo le'akiva ben Yosef, kidei shiyizke be'laniyim, I'm giving it to Rabbi Akiva, who was in charge of the, say, poor fund, and he would receive it on behalf of the poor. Umekoimoi muskar lo, and the spot of ground under this 10% of grains is rented to him, to Rabbi Akiva. Well, shmamino bo'inon sevurin bo. So from here, you see that from here that it said in this source, it said umekomo, its spot, the spot under the grains is rented to the respective parties. So why is this important? We see from here that the portables, i.e. the grains that will marked as the tithe, needs to be upon the land. The Gemara rejects this. Shiny Hossam, the story there is different. It's not an indication of the need, the general need for tzivurin, but rather ki hechi delo l'tzrichinu. We take a look at the Rashi a few lines down from here. Delo l'tzrichinu ulahotzi misham kol zman sherotzu l'hanichoi sham. They, by having the ground under the grains rented to these respective receivers, they are no longer under pressure to get the grains off because the owner wants to use that area of land. They're under no pressure, so, and this is what Rav Gamliel accomplished by renting the spot under them, but not because you required tzivurin. Toshma. Again, a triangle, but the point is facing up. So we're going to try to show that you don't require tzivurin. Now, we have in this section of Gemara a lot of bracket activity that you will see. So, we have a note on the side of the Gemara. There's a starred note. Sograim elu vaboyim achareim l'shem dilug. The purpose of these brackets, which are the initial brackets around seven lines within the brackets, those are l'shem dilug, for skipping. Horaya shatoshma roitze lohavi hu mima shikosav michutz sograim. The raya that this toshma is focusing on is that which is outside of the brackets. V'kachem advarim. And what we've done is we've written on the side how the Gemara ought to read in order to see the purpose of this toshma. So let's continue with our note. Toshma im kidam moicher v'kosav lo es ashtar. If the seller hastened and wrote up a document, kevon shehichsik imoy bekarka, when the receiver does a kinyan chazoka on the land, nikne shtar b'chol mokum shu, the shtar will be transferred wherever it is. By saying wherever it is, obviously it's not necessarily on that piece of land that's being given. B'socha sugraim voys oid halochis akshuros l'mechirois ayadei shtar. Within the brackets, there are additional halachas that have to do with sales done through a document. So what we already wrote on the side what the main, let's say, section of this toshma, which, by the way, you notice we have a long marking. So all of this is to develop the toshma, the attempt to show that you don't need to have tzivurin. And there's an inverted triangle afterwards where it says shiny shtar davsira de arahu. The case of the shtar, well, that's different. That's not proof that in general you need to have this is not proof that you don't need tzvurin. I could tell you that you do need tzvurin, and the shtar has a unique role or a unique characteristic that concerning which we're able to say let the shtar be acquired wherever it is. But the Gemara wants to say at that point that in general you would require tzivurin, and then the Gemara rejects that. The last triangle you see has a point facing up, and Mirz Hashem, when we get to it, we'll try to explain things better. So now with all that having been said, we'll go through the Gemara straight, recognizing that the main point of the Gemara is that which is outside the brackets. So, Toshma, the Omar, Rava, Bar Yitzchok, Omar, Rav. Shnei, Shtoros, Hein. There are two laws regarding Shtoros. So it doesn't mean, don't translate the Gemara literally, there are two documents, rather two dinim, unique laws that we want to feature regarding shtoros. Number one, if a man says, an owner of land says, Zechu besoda zu leploni, says to a, we'll call him a third party, says, take possession of this land on behalf of so-and-so, v'kisu lo es hashtar, and write a document of proof that I am doing this. In other words, we're not talking about a kinyan shtar. We're talking about having a shtar as a proof, as evidence that this transaction is taking place. Chozer b'shtar v'eino chozer basodeh. If the owner says, I don't want to have a document written up. It's not necessary. It doesn't serve the interest of the original owner to have documents in other people's possession. So he can back out of the shtar if he should say so. I don't want a shtar written up. The eino chozer basodeh, but he cannot back out of the transfer of the field. If, however, he says, Al menas shetichtevu lo es hashtar, I'm selling or I'm transacting, I'm giving this this land to so-and-so, but on condition that you write a shtar. Choyzer bein b'shtar bein b'sodeh. The giver can back out, whether from the desire to have the shtar or from the very transfer of the land. For B'chia Barovin Omar, Rav Huna, Shalosha Shtoros Hain, there are three laws of Shtoros, Treha D'Amoran, two we've already stated, Idach, the third halacha that has relevance to Shtoros. You know that these are not halachas that are dependent one on the other, the three distinct halachas concerning Shtoros. And here's the third. In Kina Moicher V'Kosav Lo Es Hashtar, if before the money was paid, or before a chazoka was done to the land, we have a short bracketed section. If we skip it momentarily, you see the Gemara says, "Kevan sheichzik imo b'kaka niknesh shtar b'chol mokum shehu." Once the kinyan chazoka is done on the land, the shtar becomes the receiver's property wherever it is. So shmami no lo boin and zurun. This would be proof that you don't require to have the portable on the land. Here you see that the land is, the shtar is being transferred wherever it is. So let's go over that which we skip. Reading again the phrase before the brackets, the second brackets. In kida moicher v'kosav lo es hashtar, if before the money was paid for the property, or before a chazaka was made on the property, the moicher had written out a shtar. Ke'oisah shoninu, we're now reading within the brackets, in accordance with that which has been taught, ke'isvin shtar l'moicher, afal pi she'ein lokeach imo. A mocher, a seller of land, can have a document prepared testifying to the transfer of the land, even though the receiver is not there. So if the mocher requests, or the mocher at the very outset wrote up a shtar, we continue in the Gemara, Kevon shehichzik imoi bekarka, once the receiver, the purchaser, does a kinyin chazoka on the land, niknesh shtar b'chol mokum shu, the contractor, the document, becomes the possession of the receiver of the land wherever the shtar happens to be. Well, so that by making the kinyin chazoka on the ground, the shtar becomes the owned by the purchaser. Shma mina lo boinon sivurin ba. You see from here that we don't require the portable to be literally on top of the land. The Gemara says, I could tell you that in general, if you're buying a piece of land and the seller is selling you a microwave oven as well at the same time, the microwave oven had better be on that piece of land. Why here is that not an expectation? Shiny shtar, the case of a shtar, a document testifying to the sale of the land, the afsira the ara hu. We take a look at Rashi, and the Rashi is, you'll find lower part of the narrow lines. Afsar, Rashi gives you a French word for that. Klomar, beis achizosa. Essentially the reins of an animal. Ukigon, karkadomi. Since the shtar is so closely related to the land, it's a document concerning the transfer of a particular piece of land. So it's so so much a part of the deal that it's like the reins of the animal. It's like the afsar of the land. Or as Rashi says, the shtar is like land itself. So that the fact that you have the shtar being transferred to the receiver of the land, wherever the shtar happens to be, it's not reflective of all other portables. We continue in the Gemara. V'ho Allah Kotani, but regarding this very case of a mocher who is kodam the kosav lo ashtar, and our statement that once the kinyan chazok is made on the ground, the shtar becomes yours, becomes the receiver's. So regarding this, it says v'ho Kotani zuhi shishaninu. This is a very general teaching that portables, those are the nechosim she'en machrayas, are acquired along with land, as long as you make a kinyan on the land through kesef, shtar, chazaka. So we're learning from the case of shtar, you can't say shiny shtar, shtar is different, but rather the case of the shtar is reflective of all metaltalin transfers. And what did we say about the shtar? It's nikne b'chol mokum shu, wherever it happens to be, i.e. it's not on the land. So shma mino lo bo'inan svurin bo. Shma mino, this would be conclusive that you don't require the portables which are symbolized by the shtar, or it's represented by the shtar, but shtar is just one example of all portables, and you see that it's transferred wherever it is, through the kinyan made on the land. We don't require it, tzivurin bo. And that you can see is the conclusion of this particular long give and take. Ibaya laho, we have a new marking, and on the side under the mivneh heading, you'll see a few of these crown shapes highlighting ibaya laho. Sidra shel she'elois. We have a series of questions be'inyin kinyin metaltalin im karka regarding the acquisition of portables along with land. We're not going to go through all of them, but we're going to go through the first one. You'll see why it has direct relevance to the preceding discussion. Ibay aloho, mi bo'inon agav alo. Now this is very vague. So we look at Rashi. Agav, the lower part of the narrow lines, sheyoymar lo, Rashi says, the seller should say kni karka ukni metaltalin agaba. It seems from Rashi's approach, the question is, it's a procedural question, technical question. When the seller is selling the land together with portables, does he have to say acquire the land, kini kaka, and acquire the metaltan agaba, means together with the acquisition of the land? Doesn't mean on top of the land. Even though I think if you translate the word agaba in a literal fashion, that's what you would end up saying, but we're not able to say that. We just finished a Gemara which concluded we don't require tzivurin. So agaba means along with it. So you have to spell that out. Acquire the land and acquire the portables along with the land that you're acquiring. We continue in the Gemara. Toshma de Kotani Kolhani. The Gemara points out that we had all these examples above. If you recall, the acquire the land along with it, 100 heads of sheep and 100 barrels, and velo Kotani Agav, and it doesn't say. You didn't see that the seller has to say agav along with the land get the sheep and barrels. So what do you see? You would say that you don't have to have that term spelled out. Well, you're bringing a proof from the above cases where you didn't see that term spelled out, ulatamek ni mikotoni, and In the cases above, did you see the word kini, which is an essential word for a transaction to take place? It doesn't, but you didn't see that word in the sources above. Ela ad de omar kini. But we know that when a transaction takes place, you have to use the word kini. The Rashi says ad omar kini hutzruch lomar li acher zechei betefach al tefach liploni v'imo mea zon shvidi shlo uchalachzor bi. The word kni has to figure in the transaction where the owner says to some third party, take on behalf of so-and-so this square tefach of land, and along with it the 100 heads of sheep, so that I am not able to back out. But the word kni needs to be stated. So just like it needs to be stated, but you didn't see it in the sources above, Hochanami Adom Agav. So too, it could very well be that the seller has to say Agav, that you're going to receive the portables along with the land. And here the Gemara rules concerning the sugyas, the discussions we've had up till now. V'chasot Sevurim Lo Bo'inan. The requirement of having the portables literally on top of the land is not necessary. However, Agav Ukni Bo'inan, the seller must spell out that these words in the case of such a deal where someone is going to acquire land, and along with the acquisition of land, he'll get the portables that they agreed upon. So you need to have these words used. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.